Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We are recording. Who's going to speak first, Dave? Should we have a little pre-show meeting?
I can go first.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm going to go first.
Okay,
I've got something to say.
All right, good luck.
The following
you're going first, okay?
Is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
It's because I got something to say.
Okay, Dave, yeah, you go first, mate. I don't want to speak first. Dave.
Tom?
Yes, mate, hey.
I've got something to say.
Oh, yeah, go on. What is it?
Can I speak first?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. You go first. Go on, over to you.
It's actually a confession.
You haven't fucking watched Contact, have you?
Not yet, no.
You're an absolute...
I did not have time.
I mean, what, in between... I've seen your Instagram, Dave. Just watching the 5 p.m. misery press conference instead of watching Contact. You should have watched Contact.
To be fair, wasn't the misery press conference really worth a watch on Sunday, when I was supposed to be watching Contact?
Yeah. It would have been a difficult sell to your housemates who wanted to watch a huge moment, potentially. And you'd be like, yeah, but...
But can we watch a 1997 from Robert Zemeckis film?
And they would have said, yes, we can. I mean, it's called Contact, so it's sort of on message, isn't it? Sort of about, you know, trace contact, something like that.
I mean, yeah, sure. But yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, it's fine. I will honestly watch it this week. The problem is today is my sister's birthday, so it feels mean to make her watch it.
A great birthday present, to be honest. Let's look for life on other planets. Listen, can I? I'm just looking for things to do after lockdown. Because I'm quite looking forward to this summer. Going to have a car. I'm going to get out there and do some things. And I'm just looking up Barnard Castle on TripAdvisor. Really nice. Some great reviews on Barnard Castle. Recently went to Durham for a trip. It was quite dead for a tourist destination. To make the most of it, I went out walking along the Tees. I chatted to a man with his family there. He recommended Barnard Castle. We had a fantastic trip here, and we were able to witness the bluebells. My new acquaintance said if I was in Durham the following week, he would be back up this end, as his parents were having a garden party. That's nice, isn't it?
This is very, very Pizza Express working, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. It's the perfect entertainment for families with young kids. It's a difficult time to be entertaining kids when so much is closed. Delighted to find Barnard Castle open on our recent trip up from the Big Smoke to celebrate Mum's birthday. Bumped into an old acquaintance, the Floating Skull, and young family. Never seen him looking so well.
I mean, there's no point in us being too political in anything that's moving so quickly. Honestly, I think by the time this goes out, he might have gone, because did you see that, as you know, we're recording this Monday morning, and about 11 p.m. last night, our time, podcast time, not live listening time, it emerged that the Daily Mail have turned on the Tories.
Daily Mail have turned,
wild.
That is like one of the Tigers turning on Carole Baskin, isn't it? That is,
it's like all of the Tigers.
Yeah.
Turning on everyone. Like, just, it's what, oh my goodness.
This is a good review. Michael's written a good one. Visited here on Sunday the 12th of April, was suffering from a dry cough, high temperature, and lost all sense of taste and smell. Dropped the cat off at my mother's house to make sure that she was safe, as every good father would do. Absolutely beautiful face, beautiful place. Definitely worth driving over 264 miles for. Oh, that's funny. I love it.
Oh, I just wish there was some sort of sense of justice that this would actually affect his life in any negative way, but it just won't.
Justice in the world. No, mate, it's you know, it'll be business as usual. That is the depressing thing. I think it was comedy producer Ian Morris was tweeting about it, saying, well, the news cycle will move on and we will have more stories to talk about in a couple of days' time, because, you know, by the end of this week, we're all going to be talking about what's the next phase of coming out of lockdown, and we'll forget about this and we'll move on. And not many people who voted Tory will now not vote Tory. It's not going to change politically much, so it's slightly depressing. I think there's a lot of Twitterati getting up in arms about it, and just sort of,
the Daily Mail thing's a big thing, though. I do think he'll probably end up going, but I just don't think he'll go for long, and he'll sit in the background and probably still get paid to be some sort of consultant in the quiet, and then probably be back for the election, you know. It's that kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Didn't Mandelson basically do that? Mandelson did that, didn't he, when he left TB behind? Where do you stand on the, and Helen Monks will be interested in this, because Helen Monks was saying the other day that she's looking for Dominic Cummings' house, which we would never condone that on this show. That's no. A slightly weird thing to do. But then Helen Monks, you know, that she's a very active person. That's what she wants to do. But did you see the video of
Dominic? I don't think she was actually going to do anything.
I don't think she was at all, no. Well, because also I found out where his street is. I was I was messaging her going, oh, he's quite near me. And she was like, yeah, I'm not really going to go. Okay, fine, yeah, good. And
just talking down our Great Big Owl podcasters from...
Yeah, exactly. No, she's definitely not going to go and barrack and do a, like, Wicker Man on Dominic Cummings. But did you see the footage of him getting home and the people just like getting selfies next to him, giving him the finger
and swearing at him and all that? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to be great for him, I don't think. I think...
No. Yeah. No. Well, you know, he's often gone on about the metropolitan elite and now he's got to live with them. You don't shit where you eat, mate. It's... what can you do, man? What can you do? I don't really have much sympathy for him. There you go.
Oh, breaking news. BT have replied to my broadband's been absolute dog shit recently.
Oh, has it? I've not noticed on this, Dave.
No, weirdly, it seems to always be perfect when I do this podcast. And then as soon as I want to do anything else...
Yeah.
It's completely fucking useless. It's annoying, that.
Right. And so what's BT... So, I mean, you are just literally checking your emails while you record...
Don't you worry. I don't bother emailing or calling BT anymore. I just tweet them an angry public tweet.
Right.
Or semi-angry, just sort of like semi...
You shame them in front of your 300 followers. Yeah, that's useful.
So, yeah. And the rest, mate. 312.
Thank you.
Oh, no, but I mean, you will be surprised when there's a few thousand people that can see you going, BT, you're a shambles. They do immediately. And it's only because I did it once in a sort of like... I don't shame them. I just inquire on Twitter, because what they do then is send you a DM... and say, what time would you like us to call you to sort this out? Rather than me sitting on the line for 6 hours waiting to get put through. It's just the way the system works. It's a much more efficient way, you know?
What is the latest from British telecoms regarding your broadband day?
Paddy's been in touch.
Is Paddy, is it?
Yeah, Pads on this morning. So it was Aaron a couple of days ago. Aaron,
Aaron. He does not. He doesn't.
Fucking useless, if I'm honest.
Absolutely.
Nothing was resolved. The thing is, Tom, and you know, it's absolutely fine, and it sort of ticks along, and this podcast has been fine for it. But I've got 100 megabit guaranteed stay safe, whatever you call it. Like, it should always be 100 and more.
Yeah.
And it's regularly in the 20s at the moment. And
But when it's in the 20s, right, don't you find that you're like, well, it's still fine for everything I need?
Yeah, well, I mean, my previous broadband was about 20. That's all it was, and it was sort of fine but annoying. But I'm paying for this thing, and I'm just like, I'm a bit annoyed, because this Stay Fast guarantee I've worked out, and this is not to naysay the largest telecommunications company in the country, slash... the ones that have a monopoly and don't really, really worked for it at all. Yeah. But there's no real. You don't get anything. It's like guaranteed 100, and it's like, well, it's 21, and they're like, oh, really sorry about that. I was like, what sort of guarantee is that? Give me my money back.
We guarantee we will give you that speed, and if we don't, we will apologise. Whoa, that's amazing. Yeah, but it's tricky, isn't it? Because it's like, you know, it's war and peace scenario, isn't it? You have paid money for war and peace. We all know you're never going to read it, but if someone took it away, you'd be cross.
Yes, exactly. And they do all these tricks. The tricks. I mean, do you want my BT tricks sidestepper?
Oh, yeah.
Because so the first thing they always do is say, because I sent them a little screenshot of, you know, one of those broadband speed checkers, and it was on something like 3. Like, ooh, pathetic.
Yeah, yeah.
And they say, oh, would you mind just plugging your laptop directly into your router and doing a wired test connection? And you immediately know that 90% of the people in the country don't anymore have a fucking laptop that takes an Ethernet cable.
No, you know? So, of course, yeah.
Like, fuck off to start with, and B, that's not what I use it for. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like saying my car doesn't work when there's more than one person in it, and they're like, well, can you just put a small child in it and get him to see if the weight, you know, if it takes the weight?
Yeah, I think that analogy works. Yeah. I'm just going through that analogy in my head. Yeah, I think that'll do more or less. Gosh, you know? We're so good at analogies on the show. Our approach to analogies is a lot like a dog finding Anna. Fuck it.
It's like my toaster doesn't work when you put some jam near it, and they say, would you like some jam on your toast?
Analogy and corner. Can we make an analogy corner sting? That would be nice. Yes. Here comes an analogy. Dave, I need to talk to you about fudge.
Okay, I'm interested.
So
I'm interested, actually.
The other day, my wife made fudge. With the kids as a kind of homeschooling project, and she
homeschooling,
mate, got to teach the kids how to cook. Yeah, it's important.
agreed with that sentence, and now tell me how I'm making fudge.
Right, because you're teaching them about ingredients and eating some food that they've made. I don't know. Anyway, so she poured in, oh my God, it's like it's butter, and then there's sugar, and then there's syrup, and then there's cocoa powder, and then maybe a bit more butter for luck, and then a bit of milk or something. I don't even know what the ingredients were. But she created this, essentially a black hole. Like, there are now stars nearby in the universe heading towards our planet, because there's a black hole in North London. And I'm not talking about Dominic Cummings' soul. I'm talking about the fudge my wife has made.
Ooh, a little bit of satire, is it again?
Yeah, you go. You're welcome.
Two days in a row.
Welcome back to the Now Show. 2 points, Sandy. And she speckled it with sea salt.
Really, really, just...
You're picking me up on the Sandy thing, aren't you?
Well, no, and the Now Show. You're thinking of the news quiz with their former host, Sandy Toksvig. So
she's gone, isn't she?
Neither of those. It's great. No, it's a nice mixed reference, I'd say.
Did I tell you about the time I bumped into Prue Leith near my house, talking about cooking cakes?
No.
So I interviewed Prue Leith on Magic about her new book. Prue Leith writes novels.
Right.
Which have nothing to do with cooking.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Are they good?
So I interviewed her, right, about a novel. And then literally, it's so fucking weird this, 4 days later, I'm walking my kids to school, right, and there's a bit of a gang of us, because you sort of get up a bit of head of steam when you walk to school.
Pre-lockdown,
obviously. It all gets a little bit, oh, hello, you know, meeting on street corners, right? You remember that song with Keith, what's his name? Vindaloo, Keith Allen, Vindaloo. Everyone sort of meets and the group gets bigger and bigger. That's kind of what happens when you walk to school. And then we get to a road really near my house. Standing on the corner, fucking Prue Leith, mate.
Right? Sure.
Prue Leith's just standing there. And
just
literally
doing nothing.
Just, I don't know, she looked like she was waiting for a car or something. She doesn't live in the area, because we've got a list of the celebrities who live nearby. I checked on the spreadsheet.
Lisa Tarbuck,
good morning. The end. And so and she was like right on the corner we were about to walk past. Like, it wasn't like I had to go my way to say hi to her. So, and I thought I'd impress the parents who I was with, because they went, oh my God, it's Prue Leith. And I was like, oh, well, I met her the other day, and I'm going to be like, hey, and she'll be like, oh my God, how are you?
So you interviewed him in person, yeah. So again, this is a pre-lockdown world. I was like, oh, so you interviewed, yeah.
I sat in a room with her for half an hour and listened to her talk about her book. So I, you know, it was a great interview. And I went, so I sure enough, I was like, fuck it, I'm going to say hi. And these guys are going to be like, oh my God, you know Prue Leith. Hey Prue, how are you doing? I said, and she looked straight through me. Never have I seen less recognition from anyone. Never.
Wow.
Literally. And I was like, and all the parents had now stopped and were all silent. So I've got like four parents, loads of sets of kids all watching me say hi to this person, because everyone's been going, oh my God, it's pretty. We met a couple of years ago. I interviewed you about your book. No, nothing. To the point where I thought, was I interviewing a fucking double the other day or something? Is this like Donald Trump's wife? Are there just spare Prue Leiths around the place who get wheeled out for interviews? She couldn't, she's like, oh yeah, yeah, oh right. And she sort of then pretended. And then I said,
well, the thing is about this is that she should fucking pretend.
Mate, always pretend.
Why is her instinct not to be like, even when you just say, hi, Prue, to be like, oh, hi, how are you? Because you...
Well, don't get me wrong, she was very nice. She wasn't prickly or cold.
No, I know, but that should be your default as... maybe she has come to sort of celebrity much later in life and hasn't... But, you know, even we have to do that, because in our sort of line of work, we meet a lot of people and inevitably forget who a lot of people are. But your sort of default is to just be like... Tim Prost.
Yeah,
it's to be like, hey, how are you, friend?
Right. Well, that's what I thought she would do, right? And I went in pretty... I went in at about an 8. Oh, my God, hello, how are you? That's weird, because I saw you the other day. And I got back a 4 from, like, hello? Oh, it's Tom. It was very odd. And obviously, the parents have never fucking forgotten it. And now they all talk about how Prue Leith is my best celebrity friend. Thanks, guys.
Shame you didn't bump into Tarbuck, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That could have impressed them. Anyway, so we're making fudge, right? So Beth's making fudge with the kids. And it comes out looking like tar. It looks like the warnings used to look on the side of cigarette packets before they got ridiculously depressing and upsetting. They just used to do like lumps of tar to show you what smoking did to you.
Yeah.
And it looks absolutely disgusting, right? And the kids refused to eat it because I said it looked like poo, because it does. It looks like a sort of pooey tarry, right? So Beth tries a bit, and she's like, her eyes light up, and I can see it. And Beth's going, oh, it's not very nice. She's trying to keep it secret, and I can see in her eyes this glint. And I was like, oh, I'll try a bit. So I popped a bit in the old gob. Holy fuck bags. Literally, the act of having to get it in my mouth was like sort of having to smear a bit of glue off the side of a like an empty glue container, maybe. If you can just imagine, it is like glue, right? That's the point I'm making here.
So it's glue. Yeah, tell me the glue thing.
It's a glue. I'm trying. It's an analogy corner.
So it's like trying to get into your car with some glue.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can't because of the glue, right?
I'm trying to think of a good comparison. It is basically incredibly hard to get an amount, and it's so sticky, your jaw instantly locks together like you've got tetanus. But it's the best thing I've ever done with my mouth.
Hang on, what is the taste?
The fudge,
yeah,
is the best thing that's ever happened to my mouth.
Really?
Like, it's insane. It's an intense package of fat and sugar and cream, and I don't know if she's put some heroin in there as well. It looks like, actually, is it squidge? I don't really know anything about drugs, Dave. You know, I mean, obviously, this is your department, clearly. You know, you get the... Is it called squidgy? What's the skunk?
Honestly, my knowledge of drugs is so painful. And I shouldn't be embarrassed not to know, like, the street names of drugs or what people are referring to or even the differences in types of marijuana. I just don't know anything about it.
If you want to learn something about drugs, listen to Crime Club, our podcast on Great Big Owl. It's an amazing podcast interviewing people who can say things like, yeah, he had a packet. He's on packets. I don't even know what that means.
Packet of squares. Squares.
Exactly. Yeah. Quavers. Yes, please. So... No, right. Neither of us are. We're not druggists. It does look like, 'cause she wraps it up and she's portioned it out into grams, and she's put it in cling film, and it looks like little. And they're sitting in the fridge, and it does look like we've now got a lot of skunk in our fridge. And I'm tempted to start selling it on street corners.
You probably could, mate.
Yeah, I mean, the upshot is my wife made some nice fudge, and the kids don't. We're trying to keep it a secret from the kids that it's nice, so they keep seeing us eating
it. That's very clever.
Yeah. And they're like, can I try a bit? And we're like, no, we're just eating it to get it done. We should throw it away, really. But my God, Dave, it's an absolute culinary triumph.
That is great. Can you send me some?
Can I send you some of my fudge? It's not a bad idea. Yeah, I worry that sniffer dogs might get it when it goes through the postal system, because they might suspect it of being something. But
that's fudge, isn't it? They'll open it and it'll be fudge, and they'll be fine.
And they'll find it's fudge, yeah.
Pop it in a little package with a note that says, don't worry, lads, this is just fudge, brackets, not drugs.
Should I send you some fudge?
Yes, please.
Okay, mate, I'm going to send you... And that's not a euphemism, friend. That sounds like a street threat. I'm going to fucking send you fudge, mate.
We don't know the lingo for the streets use.
Yeah. Okay, fine. All right, I'll send you some fudge. Well, we've got something out... Well, you have literally got something out of this podcast for the first time.
I'm thrilled. Free fudge. Weeks.
Free fudge, there you are. No, I didn't say free, mate. It's £3, thank you.
Hello, I'm Justin.
And I'm Lucy.
And together we are the hosts of Plenty Questions.
It's a very straightforward general knowledge quiz.
We ask you 20 questions, one after the other, 5 second gap in between, and you shout the answers out.
And then you tweet us to let us know how you've got on.
See if you can get 20 out of 20. No one has so far, but that's because we haven't started doing it yet.
But we will. And there's also going to be some fiendish brain teasers, so join us for Plenty Questions.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The prodigal con returns.
The prodigal con really works written down because you have to change one letter, but it does not work when spoken.
Right. Have you been writing yourself little intros for this episode, Dave?
Yeah, the Prodigal Con Returns. That's what it's going to be called.
The Prod Bill Cull Son.
The Prod Bill Cull Con
returns
to the bill.
On a Cornelius Day.
Cornelius Day. Now, that will stick. That will stick.
Happy Cornelius Day, everyone. People missed you last week, mate.
You were missed. We had Dom Bloody Jolly, and you
I love
absence.
Dom Jolly as well. Yeah. He's a very funny man.
He is really funny. I'm a big fan of Dom Jolly's. And he's going to come back on, Cornelius. So would you like to hop on
yeah,
the
I
same
can
time?
Talk to him about the time my brother met him in the street and he was nice, and how when they bought it back exclusively for all four, Trigger Happy TV, that was. It was even better, and they just did shorts, and it should have got recommissioned.
Did Dom Jolly want to get recommissioned? Was he after doing
well, he retweeted me when I tweeted suggesting so.
Oh, well,
God, I didn't know we had a Dom Jolly fanboy in the house.
Yeah, I quite like him.
Ah, that's the most enthusiasm you're going to get from Cornelius about anything, to be fair.
Yeah. Cornelius, how's your week been? How's Dave? Can you give us a sort of an eye in on Dave Cribland, please, while we've got you here?
It's been an odd week for us, different, because I was working all last week.
Had to go to work, yeah.
I had to go to work because I'm a key worker, because had I not gone in, some right-wing radio might not have been produced properly.
Thank God for you.
So I haven't been around too much. And also, like, we are doing that sort of meeting one person. We all are, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's been that. So I don't think you saw my brother yesterday, did you?
No, I didn't. No,
but he sat outside our flat.
Yeah, it's like ships in the night, isn't it?
And I couldn't go in because Dave was doing yoga.
Oh.
Dave did yoga. Is that the tidbit you wanted?
That's what I need, mate. Is it is tidbit or is it titbit?
Tidbit, but Cornelius hasn't seen either.
Okay,
it doesn't even work as a joke because a tid's not a thing, but it's funny, isn't it?
Have you seen Dave doing yoga?
No, because he specifically texts me requesting not to go into his room because, yeah. Not that I would normally, but...
yeah, you have to explain the...
normally it's fine for you to run in when he's wanking, that's
so,
okay.
On our east terrace...
Jesus Christ, all right, yeah, all right, Buckingham Palace.
Our east terrace, the way to get out to that is through Dave's room.
Okay.
That's where the door is to and it overlooks the garden square and the pond and the...
Dave, aren't you tempted to do some yoga on the terrace looking out onto the people? That'd be quite...
No, absolutely not. In no way. I might do it on the West Terrace, actually. The West Terrace is bigger and slightly more private.
Yes.
So I've done the exercise there before.
How did your yoga go? Do you feel better for doing it? Because I'm gearing up for doing some. I've watched an Adrienne video. I'm nearly there.
Yeah, yeah. So I started with Adrienne, and she's sort of fine, but she does a lot of talking. Mm. I'll send you some good tips, mate. Some good.
All right. Well, I'll send you some fudge, and you send me some yoga.
Yoga tips.
Such a happy lockdown. All right, Cornelius, come on then. Let's do some bill, please. Let's take us through. Oh, actually, Dave, we need to get ready for the bill bingo.
Bingo.
Well,
I didn't know whether we were revealing this or not.
Well, I feel bad if we don't.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't play Bill Bingo.
You've watched the episode with him.
I watched it with him. We watched it yesterday.
Oh my God, guys. Well, I can still play Bill Bingo by myself.
Okay.
But also
that's quite sad.
But that's fine. I was a one man bingo. But I mean, Dave, are you going to help Cornelius describe the episode, or are you?
Yeah, I can chip in, mate. Do you know what? Here's my overarching thought about it. Oh, didn't I say to you? What did I say right at the end when it finished?
I can't remember. You wanted to watch another one?
Yeah. I said, can we watch the next one? And Cornelius said, no.
No. Even though not much happened in this one.
No, but so it's good. It's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, mate. Yeah, yeah, but nothing much happened. We're basically in the middle of a search for a missing child and she didn't get found.
That's spoiler alert.
Hang on. Good. I'm going
to... Well, no, you can't have any of those in Bill Bingo.
I literally write the word missing.
Okay. But yeah, it brought back a lot of memories.
Did it?
Yeah, I forgot how good it was.
It was funny as well because Dave knew the characters' names better than I did.
Cornelius gets saying, who's that one again? Jack Meadows. Who's that?
Oh, Meadows, thank you, great. Yeah. Hang on, I'm trying to think of words before. I've never used before.
Oh, here's one. I can give you a clue for one. It isn't the nun.
Right, there's no nuns. Okay, thanks.
No nun.
But there is... If you've been listening properly, there is a throwback word that you could pick out. A character returns.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Oh, God.
It was a good episode, actually. Yeah. Now I remember that.
Go on, Neil. Away you go.
Okay, here we go. The Bill, Series 18, Episode 13. So we're back with the search for the little girl. Eva's little girl, this is. There's a noise in the woods during the search in the night. Is that her? Is that her? No, it's a large white man and not a small black girl.
But it's like, it's not even like, is that her? They probably go over, don't they?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We found something.
Like, they're basically taking the posters down. Yeah.
And it's a middle-aged white man, not a nine-year-old black girl. But one of the cops is like, I think we've probably found her, guys.
So it's just an injured bloke who claims he's fallen, but he's clearly... got a kick in him. Meadows is back and he's on the case. He was off the last episode. Jim Carver is now the family liaison officer with Eva. So he's in the house with Eva.
Mm-hmm. Quite boring, those bits, aren't they?
Yeah, her house as well, at one point, has more coppers in than Sunhill Station.
Yeah,
like, it is rammed.
The search party.
They're all in the house. Are they looking around the house?
Eva doesn't want Carver there because she knows that he's actually there to pry, because... that's what I learned about family liaison officers, is that they will stab you in the back. They are grasses.
Yeah, well, yeah, so he's there to, well, she says he's there to, like, ask her questions and delve into where the kid might, you know, like, to sort of...
to try and turn it on her, basically.
Well, no, just sort of subtly find stuff out, like, oh, when did you last shout at your kid and chuck her out of the house, you know? Was it 3 days ago when she went missing? That kind of thing.
Yeah, like, sort of subtly, like, interrogating, but subtly just going, so, do you miss your kid? Have you killed her? That sort of thing.
You do learn that, like, these scenes come back all the way through the episode, and it's quite... just dull procedural explanation, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just a lot of that going, like, basically Eva's all the time going, well, I'm a copper, so I know what's happening here.
Yeah, and she's also very difficult and rude to Carver, which I don't think helps.
No, I think Carver's doing the best he can at this stage.
Mm. Robin Parks is the man of the guy who was found, the little black girl. He claimed he was running and fell over. The paramedics say he got a kick in. The coppers.
Do you think he might have been robbed in the park?
Who, Robin Parks?
Yeah,
oh, maybe.
Oh, wow,
he was found in a park.
I bet the writers had a giggle for that one, didn't they?
It's the first time that joke has been laughed at for 20 years. What a moment, what a thought.
So, two of the coppers, just heads or tails, who goes in the ambulance to the hospital? Robin's wife turns up then at the hospital. Turns out he's a prison officer. So it could be any ex-con who is the guilty party.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just been done in, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Kerry confronts Luke about the gay affair straight in, and you think, oh, this is it.
Time to say it.
He calls her crazy, and they passionately kiss.
Oh, wow.
It's okay. Very gaslighting.
Gaslighting.
Yeah. Gaslighting, yeah.
Yeah, but before it was invented. That's horrible. She then goes to the sergeant and tells him he's crazy. Two detectives find some heroin on a young lad. The sergeant, Craig, suggests he can no longer go on because he thought the tennis courts had been searched when they hadn't.
This is the gay sergeant that's had the affair with Luke, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's basically just losing it. And he goes, no, don't worry about the tennis court.
He's stressed out about this Luke thing. Everything's getting to him. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yep.
And then he also thinks he can't be gay and a police officer and drink some whiskey. The drugs kid is difficult in the interview and says he might know where the kid is. What? and PC Taverner decided to ignore that. Because he thinks it's bollocks.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? So yeah, this is one of those things in the Bill which I do remember thinking, because they cut away from the main story to suddenly arrest someone for no reason, really.
Right.
And then it turns out they're the key to the whole thing. Oh. So yeah, he reckons he spotted the missing kid.
And then a journalist turns up at the station and goes, why haven't you listened to this child about the tip-off about where
so
the kid
weird.
Is?
That was
so weird. So it just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, and now a journalist. I think, was the journalist the kid's mum?
Well, I thought it was the kid's mum at first.
That's what's on my notes.
Yeah,
but
maybe
she
was.
Could be both. That's possible.
You can be a journalist and a mum. That does happen, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing that down.
It's like that riddle when it was the doctor's son, but the doctor was a woman.
Mm.
It's just like that.
Save that for
Riddle from The Office.
Save that for Riddle Me Thursday, please, mate.
Yeah, is it from The Office?
Isn't that one of the riddles that Ryan's guessing that when Dwight keeps firing riddles at him, and Ryan just gets them straight away.
Yes, correct. Mickey Webb goes and searches the bloke who's got beaten up his property. Then they find a self-storage which the guy owns. Then a laptop is found. Meanwhile, a Barbie doll is found near where the young kid said he saw Joanna, the little girl. He then points out, and they take him to the scene, and he goes, "Oh, look, there she is." And weirdly, he doesn't point at a middle-aged white man, but
he does have one up on the police in that sense.
He points at a little black girl holding hands with her mother, but it's not Joanna. So it turns out he didn't have information.
No.
Okay. And that PC Taverner, in a way, was right, but also wrong.
Yeah.
On the laptop, nonce materials are found.
After a pretty good we can't hack into this computer tech moment from the 2000s, where they turn the computer on and it goes, this is password protected, and they all sort of go, oh, for fuck's sake, as if like it would have just been immediately.
So it's sort of like Mission Impossible meets the bill for this bit.
Yeah, they just open the laptop and it's like, these files are protected by a password, and they all like live, they're like, what, how are we supposed to do our job now?
Password is 00.
Yeah,
zero.
Exactly. The password is pedo.
So it turns out this Robin Parks, the prison officer, is a pedophile. It all kicks off in the hospital out of nowhere as a man with a plank of wood comes in and goes to attack Parks, but he instead attacks the gay sergeant who gets in his way, and he proper clumps him. The landline rings at Eva's, doesn't it? And that's the landline they've been keeping free.
Yeah.
For the daughter to call.
Oh, yeah.
And then she very angrily tells the person that she doesn't want to take part in a survey.
Oh, fuck. You gave me real hope then, Joanna.
Oh, yeah, I know.
When that phone rang, mate, we were all there, weren't we?
Oh, shit. Shit.
The sergeant tells Luke that he's leaving. Luke holds his hand and cries.
Oh.
Kerry witnesses this all through the window of the hospital. Kerry, sorry.
You're right, he's getting emotional. Yeah, it's quite
Kerry amazing. Immediately goes and asks Gina Gold, Inspector Gold, what's happening, as you would.
Yeah.
If you suspect that your husband's having a gay affair with the sergeant, you'd then go to the inspector.
Yeah.
How can he be having a gay affair when he did a passionate kiss with her? That surely proves that he's not gay if he's kissed her.
I know, it's very confusing.
Yeah. I mean, that is literally what he says. He literally says like something like, I'm married and we're going to have a baby. Doesn't that prove that I'm not gay or something, doesn't he?
Wow.
Gina then marches Kerry into the hospital ward, which the sergeant is in with Luke, and says, right, you need to say what happened on Luke's stag night, which is where they had sex. The sergeant says that he made a pass at Luke and Luke rejected him, and he feels awkward and he's going to move on and will miss everyone.
It's weird because Gina Gold sets that up as well. So there's like a really good bit of... So that's the credits, Tom. That's the advert break.
Okay,
Gina
good.
Marches.
Hang on. Is this the first ad break?
No.
Jesus.
God for that. Okay, right. All
right. No, but Gina marches in and goes, you need to say what happened on the stag do. Well, that's not an impression. Very good. And then it goes, dunna, dunna, dun. And then it's the ads. And then because we're watching it on YouTube, immediately it goes, dunna, dunna, dun. Straight away.
You get a double dunna, dunna. Basically.
Yeah, but then Gina Gold's basically like, you need to tell him what happened to the stag do, about how nudge, nudge, wink, wink, you made a pass, nudge, nudge at him, wink, wink, and nothing happened, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Because she knows everything, right?
Yeah, she does, yeah.
And then they're all like, oh, yeah, that probably makes sense. So it's a bit weird.
Mm,
what Gina Gold's playing at.
Especially as Gina Gold spent the last two episodes going, this all just needs to come out.
Yeah.
Or we leave it. You know,
so what happens then?
Nothing.
That everyone goes, all right then. And that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we're looking at one of the pictures, not obviously in detail, from the laptop. And it's shown to Jack Meadows. And he goes, I know that garden. What?
Oh.
Guess whose garden it is? You won't believe this.
Reg.
No. Yeah.
This is a clue I gave you earlier about the person that wasn't the nun.
Someone coming back from a previous episode.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. And but this relies on me having listened to this for the last 10 weeks. Hang on, let me try and guess. So it's someone from a previous episode. It's not the nun.
You should be able to work it out, really, because there's been someone not doing their job properly.
Oh, I don't know. Go on, tell me.
It's none other than Howard Sinclair.
Who's Howard Sinclair?
He is the judge who had been, like, who was just making... What did he
He's sort of letting everyone off, wasn't he?
Yeah,
not doing it properly, yeah.
Yeah, he was a judge who was basically not putting anyone away. And it turns out he was being blackmailed as he's a paedophile and he's part of a paedophile ring that involves a prison officer, a judge, and God knows who else. So they've discovered a paedophile ring and still no child.
Oh, shit.
And it ends with Eva going, "That's it! I'm going back to work!"
Yeah, the cliffhanger is absolute dog shit.
Shit! So they still haven't found the kid, but they found out...
No, she's been missing for quite a while now.
Oh, yeah, God. And they're all now going, "Oh, God, is it linked? Is this all linked?"
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, dog shit cliffhanger, because I don't care about Eva going back to work.
But you want
to
watch more, don't you, Dave? You want to watch more?
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
You want to find out what happened with this paedophile ring?
Yeah, there's loads that's going on. Honestly, Tom, it's so good, the
film. It's just... So when is this episode from? Remind me. Is this from the early noughties?
2003.
Fuck. All right. Okay. Well, that's the end of the episode.
Yep.
Dave, cue the music, please. Cornelius, get ready to sing.
The long version.
That was the bill.
It's beautiful, Cornelius.
Well, watching it back, I realised the theme tune goes on for fucking ages, because right at the end, what they do it three times. So they go...
Oh, wow.
It's the bill.
And I knew that because I tried to sing along three times and then I kept, like... fucking teasing me out of it.
That is brilliant. So, Dave, now you've seen it, because I don't really trust Cornelius' judgment, because for me, he's just a blind fan. Like, the bill can do no wrong. It's a bit like me liking Morrissey. Doesn't matter what Morrissey says, I'll always love him.
He's just so invested in the bill. Like, he loves the bill so much.
Love it.
Can I just say, I do now hate Morrissey as well. But, Dave, as an outside pair of eyes, what is the bill like in terms of acting quality? Talk to me about the scripting and the acting, Dave. Is it as good
acting
as Cornelius
mix,
is making out?
Definitely. Like, Eva is not good.
All right.
Do you think? Well, no. She goes on to play Denise in EastEnders.
Yeah, not for me. Oh, sorry if you're listening. But some of them are good. Yeah, I like it. I like
Gina Gold is exemplary in her character. It's so good.
You're not going to find me dissing Gina Gold, mate. She's in Casualty now,
I think.
It's gripping, Tom. I'll tell you that. Not much happens in this. Well, actually, that's not true. They discover a paedophile ring involving a judge and a prison officer. But it's not like a big resolution to the whole overarching story. And I'm still gripped. So there you go.
So you're back in for more. This is the perfect lockdown activity.
I'm going to watch The Bill with Cornelius every week now. I decided.
Cornelius, can you do me a favour? Mm-hmm. Can you make sure Dave watches Contact today, please?
What's that?
That film that I told you we had to watch, remember?
One of the best films of the last century. Amazing movie from 1997. It's a good one. It's not one of the shit. I know there's a lot of shit ones out there. This is one of the good ones.
I can try, but we've got quite a busy day because it's your sister's birthday.
Yeah, that's what I said. We can't really do it today, but we'll probably do it tomorrow. How's that, Tom?
I just think it's the perfect birthday present to die.
Tom, I have a question for you.
Yeah, happy to have.
And this might be an edit point, I don't know. But you live in North London.
Yeah.
Do you know if you live near Dominic Cummings?
Well, I do know. I found out where he lives, and I could get to his house on a bike probably in about, I'd say, under 10 minutes. I know exactly where he lives, but you cannot say that without it sounding very threatening.
Is he the closest politician to you? Because I imagine, like, every other house in North London is just politician.
Yeah, he must have Corbyn nearby, right?
I know where Corbyn is, yeah. Corbyn's a bit closer than Cummings, yeah. I see Corbyn around a lot. He's my MP. I know where Boris... My mate used to live next door to Boris, and she used to text me whenever... Because this is when he was the mayor. She used to text me whenever he was having... an argument with his wife, and there was a lot. There was one incident where his wife locked him out of his house when he lived down by Angel, and he was on the doorstep at 2 a.m. There were no paps around, no one knows about this, but he was just banging on the door desperately asking to be let back in, and his wife wouldn't let him back in.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. Great intel.
That's when he was mayor. I think those are the only politicians that I know that live near me. So, and Nick Robinson as well, off of asking politicians questions.
Where we live, it's just a load of podcast and radio producers.
Yes, and YouTubers, to be fair, mate. Loads of YouTubers.
Yeah, YouTubers as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My son's obsessed with YouTubers now. Obsessed. Who's, like, the biggest YouTuber near you, then?
A guy called KSI, who lives in our old building.
I've got KSI on my wrist from golf. KSI?
He is like big.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God.
You looking him up?
I wrote it down. What's his KSI?
He's a gamer. Oh, we got some. He's got 21.4 million subscribers, Tom.
Oh my Christ. That's more than us.
He puts on boxing bouts with another YouTuber.
Jake Paul, isn't it?
Logan Paul, is it?
Logan Paul, yeah, one of the Pauls. Oh, one God. Of the Paul's twats. There you go. Should we leave it there?
I reckon. Yes. Thanks, Cornelius. Lots of love.
Thank you. Bye bye.
See you tomorrow.
What, talk to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah, I'll see if I can make time.
All right, just checking
my schedule. Yeah, I've got this done. What's your plan? Oh, so obviously your rest of the day is...
Yeah, I got to go now, really, because I got to go and make my sister some breakfast.
Okay, all right, we'll go and enjoy
birthday breakfast.
Yeah, I reckon tomorrow I will be here. Yes, good. Thank you. Bye-bye. Cabin FE83709. Oh, Cabin FE83709. Oh, Cabin FE83709. Oh, that's our Twitter name.
Right, I'll see you tomorrow. GreatBigOwl.com.
Okay. Unbelievable. He's gone now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.